It was what the prophet Micah would call the least among the clans of Judah, south of Jerusalem, west of the Salt Sea. Heads of wheat bowed to the blades of harvest, grapes glistened in the afternoon sun, sheep stumbled along the stony high grounds. Here Jacob would gain a son and bury his beloved Rachel. Ruth would find refuge in the barley fields. Samuel would find a king among the shepherds. Shepherds would find a king among the sheep. Soon the tramp of soldiers' feet would fill the silence. Mothers would mourn the lost sons of Bethlehem. The holiness of one night in the little town would be stolen by the sword. But all was not lost. One would survive. Like Ruth, he would wander without a home. Like Boaz, he would provide bread for those in need. Like David, he would come from a humble beginning. Like the children who were lost, he would be pierced by a sword. And through the innocence of his death, this son of Bethlehem would become our peace.
We are full-blown into the Christmas season. How many are excited about that? How many are less than excited about that? Timid to demonstrate. There is all kinds of mixed emotion at Christmas time, but what we learn from Scripture is that those who plan peace have joy. We are in the middle of Advent, and Advent has four themes. Last week we talked about peace, joy, hope. Last week we talked about hope. This week is about peace. Next week will be about love, and then the final week is about joy. And the observation that I want to make is that each of these different themes all funnel into joy. Last week, what we would see is that without hope, you can't have joy. This week, what we'll see is that without peace, you can't have joy. That's why Psalm says those who plan peace, they find joy. And today we're going to be looking at that. If you would like to have a joy-filled Christmas, I think you're going to enjoy the things we talk about today. If you would like to have a peaceful Christmas, you're going to enjoy what we're going to talk about today. But before we start, just to get on the same page, I think peace is a more challenging concept to describe. So I want you to take just a moment, turn to whoever's sitting right with you, and together figure out what your definition for peace would be. Quite honestly, we would come up with many different definitions. But for you, what does peace, what does that mean? What does that signify in your own life? Go ahead, give you about 30 seconds, chat among yourselves, and then we'll jump in. All right, I'm going to start with section one. I'm going to go to each section, and I want you to give me one aspect of peace, what peace is to you. So section one, what would you say peace is for you? Did you see how peaceful that all was? Actually, it wasn't. It was all very anxious, anxiety-filled. What's one aspect of peace? Real quick.
Restful.
Very good. Okay. Section number two is the whole middle part. Tranquility. Very good. Section number three.
Serenity.
Very good. And in the back. Harmonious. Do you know the answers first service and second service were completely different? That is really amazing to me. Again, peace is this amazing concept that you know when you have it, but you know when you don't. And sometimes it's hard to put words to what it is, but it's freedom from the brokenness of life. We live in a broken world, and because we live in a broken world, we experience fear, we experience anxiety, we experience stress, we experience a lot of things that rob our peace. Often we think of peace in relationship to violence, right? Jonathan, do me a favor. Can you bring those two cones up for me? I forgot to put them on the stage. We're going to make a continuum here of peace to whatever the opposite of peace is. Don't let them see what those cards say. Okay, the peace one goes on this side, though. Oh, gave that one away. Okay. And then just right there. Okay, thank you. Let's give him a hand. Good looking kid. That's my son. For those that are visiting, that is my son. Okay. Peace is freedom from a lot of those things that are the result of just living in a broken world. So what I want you to do is I want you to think, okay, if this is peace, what's this? What's the opposite of peace? Strife? War, I think I heard. Anxiety? Fear? Chaos? A lot of things that have an undermining influence in our life, right? I'm going to put this one here because as I thought about it, I think that's the far end of what it is. If you can't see it, if you're on the, well, nobody here. You guys can see this. Torment, to me, would be the opposite of peace. Because quite honestly, there is, how many people are natural worriers? Just get it out there. You are not less spiritual because it's natural for you to worry. You may have a little more work to do than some others. But some people, just by the way they're wired, are more prone to worry. I would not put worry over here. Worry to me is somewhere in here, right? Anxiety is somewhere in here, maybe a little closer, right? But think about it, torment. Our eternal destiny will be one of two things, peace or torment. It's like, well, a loving God wouldn't do that. Well, it boils down to this. If God is in your life, guess what you get? Peace. And for those of us that are here right now that don't have peace, you are not receiving the gift that God has for you. This isn't like optional. This is the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but what? Righteousness? We expected that, right? We saw that coming. It's all about righteousness, but also peace and joy. Can you have joy without peace? No. As soon as you lose your peace, your joy goes out the window with it. But the kingdom of God, that's supposed to be our experience, is over here. But how many of us, and again, not many of us would admit this, but a lot of us live over here. It's one thing, and again, this could be because of a brokenness in your life. Okay, if you have a hidden addiction that nobody else knows about, and you're just keeping it to yourself, and you're just tolerating it, it is tormenting you. Right? It's not just undermining your heart a little bit. It is eating your lunch. Right? But it's also true if a family member is sick or there's some other aspect of brokenness or just really making a lot of bad choices or whatever, that's what's over here. So the question is where do we live? Okay, I want you to point this way or this way based on where you think I should go. On average, where do you think we live? Okay, I'm getting one of these. I'm getting a lot of these. Okay, good. Thanks for sending me back. Gets really hot right about here. Okay. But the bottom line is, we settle for this. Okay? I walk in faith in Jesus, but I still worry. Right? And we try to live on both sides of the equation. And the reality is, to the degree that we're worrying, we're really not walking by faith in Jesus. Let's, before we pray and jump in, let's just look real quickly at a few of the verses that help us understand the biblical idea of peace. Isaiah 26. Okay, so the prophet Isaiah said a lot about Jesus, said a lot that prepared the coming of Messiah. This is what he says. He says, you keep him in perfect peace. In other words, God keeps people in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Okay, that just sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? You know, well, we're going to trust in Jesus and we're going to be at peace. What is trust if it's not letting go of anxiety and fear and stress and broken relationship and all the things that would rob us of our peace? Trust means we let go and we trust that God has this, whose mind is stayed on you. All right, Jesus says this, John 14, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And there's no list of qualifications, right, that comes with that. Not as the world gives do I give you, let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, so whose choice is it? Ours. Let not your... He's given us peace. That part's done. Let not your hearts be troubled. Nowadays, stressed. Let your hearts not be stressed out. Neither let them be afraid. Remember when Jesus is talking with the disciples and he says, do you believe? And they say, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. You remember that? Okay, I think it's the same thing here. Lord, you know, we want to have peace in you. Help us have peace in you. Lord, we want to trust you. We want to let go of that stuff. Help us do what naturally is hard for us to do. John 16, I have told you these things, Jesus talking, so that in me, everybody say in Jesus as loud as you can. In Jesus. Okay. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Everybody say, no, don't say that. But we will have trouble. This is not what we want to talk about, but we will have trouble. And our solution for trouble is worry, anxiety, fear. Okay. Sociologists would tell you that when you're in a fearful situation, when you're in even an anxious situation, because the physiological reaction is the same, whether it's real fear or just anxiety. Okay, real fear is you step out in the road and there's a bus about, you know, 50 feet, you know, coming your way at 60 miles an hour. If you're not afraid at that point, you don't have a pulse. That's a real impending danger that should scare you, right? But if you're walking around going, well, someday I might get hit by a bus, and you're worrying about getting hit by a bus, that is only in your brain. But it does the same thing to your body that real fear does, right? Now, sociologists would say there's fight. Some of you get angry and you're going to take that bus on. I think that's foolish. But anyway, some of you are going to run. That's probably the right, you know, fight or flight. You're going to flee, right response, or you're going to freeze. Again, wrong response. But those are the natural things that you do. I would say fight, flight, or freeze tends to take you this way. And since we're staying with the letter F, faith takes you this way. Right? So we do, in Jesus, have a different option from those that don't have a relationship with Christ. He says, but take heart. Let your internal reality be based on this. I have overcome the world. And that's why we trust him. Jesus walked this broken road that we all walk, and he came out on the other side completely whole. And he was raised from the dead, and we now have resurrection life in us. The question is, do you expect God to show up in your life? I mean, this really is the bigger issue. Do you expect God to show up in your life? One of the ways he loves to show up is by giving you peace. He loves to do that. But if you don't believe in miracles, peace is miraculous. It just is. So let me just say this. We cannot have peace alone. We're going to learn several things about peace today, but you can't do it by yourself. The peace we have in Jesus. Could somebody get me some water? That would be really great. I'm still getting over stuff. But the bottom line, we can't have peace all by ourselves. We need God and we need each other. The kind of peace we're talking about requires a relationship with Jesus. But with this, God has peace in every situation. Let's give Johnny a hand. Are you one of my favorite people in the whole world? You can put the gap down there. I'm good. I love that man. Yeah. Johnny has been a faithful friend for almost 20 years now, and I love him. So, in the end, we cannot have peace by ourselves, but God wants to give us peace in every situation. Do we have time this morning to talk about every possible scenario? No, we don't. But in the reading, if you're following along in our reading, over the last week and a half, we have had 5 different examples of Christ wanting us to have peace in all different kinds of situations. So we're just going to use those 5 to prove the point that in every situation, God wants us to have peace. All right, let's pray. Lord God, for some of us today, this is the message, this is the truth that is going to save our holiday. It'll be real easy if we just stay on the path we're on right now to not have a peaceful holiday, not to have a joyful holiday. It'll just be something we endure. You have so much more for us than that. You came and lived and died with a message of peace and joy. So may today we hear the things we need to hear, because if we're not experiencing your peace, there is something getting in the way. Help us to find that in our own life and help us to take a faith step forward in you. And as a result, have more peace and have more joy. We love you, Jesus. It's all because of you. Amen. Amen. So God has peace in every situation. First, he gives us peace in good times. How many didn't see that coming? Because quite honestly, good times is when you're supposed to have peace, right? I would think. Luke 8:14, there's a parable that is one of my favorite parables, but it's the parable of the soils. And he says there's four kinds of conditions in the human heart. As far as internal realities, there's four ways that we function. The first two are hard hearts. The first one's hard because it's a path that's been walked on, stomped on. It's dirt, but it's packed so hard nothing else can get in. There's a lot of us that was our defense mechanism in life. And the way we had, and I'll put this in quotes, peace is by just hardening ourselves to anybody else, and nobody else can hurt us, and nobody else can, you know, get to us because our hearts are hard. The second one is soil that looks good on the surface, but there's rocks in there. And because there's rocks, there's not enough moisture for things to grow. So it looks good on the outside, but it's still really, really hard on the inside. First two soils are hard. The next soil is soft. There's no more rocks. It's all been picked out. But there, it's not tended. It's not taken care of. So there's not just the word of God is the seed that's being planted. It's just not God's word that's flourishing. It's everything else is in there also flourishing. And so God's word gets choked out and it's not fruitful. And then the last one is where all those weeds get pulled. And now it's just the word of God in our heart that's there. And it's flourishing. And it's just multiplication upon multiplication of good things happening in our life. How many of us want that heart? That's the one we want. But the middle heart is the one that where most of us live. It's where our culture wants us to live. The number one value in our culture today is what? We just need to accept everything. We need to accept everyone. And we need to kind of take discernment and throw it out the window and just be open to anything. Right? We're supposed to coexist. We're supposed to just be wonderful, right? The problem with that is that chokes out what God wants to do in our life. And though that's a cultural popular notion, it's not a biblical popular notion. Okay. So Luke 8:14, this is about that middle condition. And as for what fell among the thorns or the weeds, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So this is what you have. You have these people that are actually doing quite well. They are financially prospering. How many think that should make you happy and bring you peace? Prosperity, don't you think? Isn't that the way? I mean, our culture is all about the pursuit of happiness with the understanding is we want to be free to work hard and make a lot of money so we can have that. But how many know that really wealthy people have more anxiety than we do? Because they're always trying to protect their wealth. Okay, and the other one is pleasure. Pleasure should make you happy. How many think pleasure is good? It is. But when it's all about pleasure, with that can come anxiety, right? So hopefully my voice is going to make this whole message. Do you mind if I, instead of holding a microphone, I'll just hold a bottle of water and we'll go like that. Okay. In this case, the heart is choked out because of a pursuit of pleasure and because of a pursuit of wealth. We then have more care. We have more anxiety. Some of you, and let's just get this out there, you don't think you're caring for your family unless you're worried about them. We're going to see really quickly that's not the way Jesus frames this. Worry is not care. But in this case, when he uses the word care, it means worry, okay? So the bottom line is we cannot have peace with a choked out heart. You know, if you're letting a whole bunch of stuff in your heart and you're not managing your own heart, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be worried. You're going to be fearful, and you're not going to have peace. Second, Jesus wants to give us peace in troubling times. Now, this is legit because we expect this. When life is really hard, we want Jesus to show up. So he tells three parables about loss. Loss is part of the brokenness of life, and with loss comes a lack of peace. Our peace is robbed. Our joy is robbed because we don't have something that's important to us. So he gives three scenarios. The first one's a shepherd. The shepherd has a responsibility to take care of the sheep. So his responsibility is broken because one of the sheep comes up missing. So he leaves the 99 sheep that he has in a safe place, and he goes after the one that's lost. And he works really hard, and you could imagine, through a lot of anxiety, just looks and looks and hunts and finds his sheep, and then is so excited, this is what it says. Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, translated, who finds peace with God, than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The bottom line is this: these parables are really about how God looks at life, right? But the same principle that works for God works for us. Because God is peace, he has joy. But when we lose our peace with God and there is a broken relationship, right, then for us, that undermines our ability to have peace and to have joy. God wants to restore that so heaven can rejoice along with us. Now, the second one is a widow who loses a coin. And you go, big deal. She lost a coin. I've lost coins before. And it's really fun to find them later in your coat pocket or, you know, wherever, right? That's just fun. Okay, this isn't just a coin. This is probably a gold coin, which is worth a lot of money, which is most likely a part of her long-term security. As part of a dowry, you would give things like this, and it's part of what, you know, the wife brings into the marriage. But then that would be retained so that now as a widow, this is what supports her. So she has a loss of security. And you relate to this parable because you've lived it. You lose something in your house, and for the next hours, you tear it apart. It's your last set of car keys. If you don't find this one, you can't drive, right? And you're just tearing your house apart, praying to God that God would help you find your car keys, and you finally do, and there's a great party that you throw with yourself. Same thing with this woman. She found her coin. She regained her sense of security, and now she celebrates. The final one is what we call the prodigal sons, the parable of the prodigal son. It's really two sons. A father loses both sons in different ways, but the one who seemed the farthest away comes back, and when he is found, the peace that's in that relationship now brings great joy. So with peace comes joy. All of those are real parts of life. I mean, is you having responsibility, does that increase your potential for anxiety? Yes, because you're a dad, because you're a boss, because you're a mom or just a person with responsibility. When you have responsibility, there's more opportunity for anxiety. But the one who has his mind stayed on God has peace. And then the last one is a broken relationship. We know that when we have broken relationships in our family, when they're restored, that brings us peace. I would imagine everybody in here has some family member relationship that's broken. And as you go into the holidays, you're going to be reminded of how broken it actually is. Bottom line is God wants to restore that and bring peace. But honestly, above that, it's all about trusting God to be at work in that relationship so you don't have to carry the anxiety. All right, so peace in troubling times. Now, this next one is, I think, a huge one for a lot of people, and particularly this time of year. It's peace in serving. Sometime this Christmas, I would say most of the people in this room they're going to be saying, hey, I'm working really hard here. I'm making this dinner happen. I'm making this present unwrapping thing happen. I'm making the Christmas festivities happen, and nobody's helping me. I'm doing this all alone. And you throw a little pity party. This happens with a woman named Martha, who has a sister named Mary. And Mary is not working. She's sitting with Jesus, just chilling and hanging out. And Martha's doing all the work. So in Luke 10, but Martha was distracted with much serving. I think that is just a beautiful phrase. You know, when you're the one that's making it all happen, it's easy to get distracted by all the things that have to get pulled off to have a great Christmas. And she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? Just settle there for a bit, right? The good shepherd, the one who cares more than anyone else, the caring one, she goes, do you not care? And what she means is, are you not worried about this? Are you not anxious about this? That my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled or stressed out about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen to be at peace. Mary has decided it's better to hang with Jesus than to get all the preparations put together. And Jesus says, and I'm not going to take that away from her. Jesus came to give us peace. He didn't come to give us anxiety. So it's peace in justice as well as in serving. Because again, Martha's not just upset that Mary's not serving. She's saying this isn't just. So if this Christmas you find yourself in a situation that you feel isn't just, it's not right, it's not fair, Jesus still wants you to have peace. If you're in a situation where you're doing all the work and everybody else is sitting around enjoying all of the labors of your hard work, he still wants you to be at peace. And then, number four, peace in accusation. For some of us in this room, this is the most disturbing because everything in you wants to do it just right. And when somebody else says you're messing up, somebody else says you're not doing it right, and as Fonzie used to say, you are wrong. Fonzie could never say that. You know, it's fun. I can tell how old you are based on whether you're smiling right now or not. But honestly, there are some of us that just, we work so hard to not be wrong. And when somebody, accuses us of wrongdoing, it completely robs us of our peace. So, Jesus says in Luke 12, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. Now, by itself, public speaking is the number one fear. So that brings anxiety, just having to talk in front of a group of people. Now, don't picture a group probably even this size. A synagogue was a handful of families, right? Which means when you're brought before your closest relationships, your extended family, and you're accused of something, don't worry about what you're going to say. But then he adds to it in authorities and people that, you know, are important people or a part of the mix too, don't worry about what you're going to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Bottom line is, God wants to give you the words. How many of you hate that notion? Just serious, show of hands. I do. I like to prepare what I'm going to say. You know, as much as Deb was asking me, so is it harder or easier to do daily devotions than to preach a sermon? And I said, it's in some ways very different, but in some ways it's the same thing. If I just open my Bible the morning I'm going to do the little devotional, and that's the first time I opened it up, what comes out will be very shallow. But if I read it in advance and I let several days go by so I can kind of let God speak to me about that truth, it's just much more substantive. The bottom line is, I don't like to speak off the cuff. I don't like to speak last minute. And quite honestly, I don't like to be cornered. You know the fight or flight thing? I'm not a runner. I'm not. I mean, if you want to go toe-to-toe with me, I'm going, oh, great, let's go toe-to-toe. I mean, if you want to do that, let's do that. Right? But that's horrible because, quite honestly, that's going to be the worst words out of my mouth because I didn't have time to think about it. Right? So when you're in that situation, what's the answer? It's not fight or flight. It's faith. It's trust. Trust that God will give you the words you need when you need them. All right. And then number five, peace in confusing times. Think of the Christmas story. How much of the Christmas story was confusing? Most of it. Mary, righteous young woman, is told by God she's going to have a baby. And she said, great, this is wonderful news. Can't wait. Was that her response? No, this doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm young, but I think I got this figured out, and there's no way I'm having a baby. And God says, no, this is going to be something I do. And you are going to be with child, and that child is going to be Messiah. Right? Now, confusing. Joseph, same thing. Thought Mary's this wonderful, faithful fiance, and then he finds out she's going to have a baby, and he's trying to fix it himself. And God appears to him and says, nope, not that, this. You need to stay faithful to this relationship. The shepherds in the field, call me crazy, but they were either children or adults with a kid's job. Right? These are not the elite of society. These are the people that couldn't get any other job. So they're kind of chill. and not very excited, right? They're just hanging out with the sheep. And then the heavens open up. There's angels. There's singing. There's all this stuff going on. And confusing, yes. But in the end, the answer is always the same. The confusion goes away when there's a moment of clarity that comes from God speaking. So you can't have peace without clarity. It just doesn't work that way. The bottom line is clarity comes from hearing God. Think about it. Whatever situation you're in, if you feel like God has given you clarity in the moment, how much more peaceful are you? But if you have no sense of God involved and no sense of clarity from God in the moment, how hard is it for you to retain your peace and your joy? We cannot have peace without clarity. Luke 12:22. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." How many would consider that basic needs? Something to eat, something to wear, pretty basic needs. Now, quite honestly, if you don't even have enough resource to have food and clothing, everybody in the room would go, "I can see why you would become anxious in that." And Jesus says, "Don't. Don't be anxious in that." Well, why not? Well, he hasn't yet told us why, so we have no clarity, right? So the sense that we should have peace even when we don't have our basic needs met seems crazy, confusing, until we hear the rest of what he has to say. Verse 12, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do something as small as this, why are you anxious about the rest?" The bottom line is, us being anxious doesn't help. It doesn't bring in more food. It doesn't provide clothing. So why be anxious? It doesn't help at all. But that's not all he has to say. Verse 29. "And do not seek, do not focus on these things, what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried." If you don't have focus on the right thing, you can't have peace. If you're focused on just providing for yourself, you're not going to have peace. Verse 30, "For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." The bottom line is, we don't focus on what we don't have. That doesn't help. We focus on the fact that God takes great pleasure in providing us with what we need. And again, we don't have time to read all that he says about this, but the bottom line is, he takes care of everything else. Why don't we expect him to take care of us too? Let me say something. I am now a father with grown children. I did not raise my children to be my children forever. I raised my children to be children of God. When they have needs right now, as much as we have great joy in doing things that are helpful for all of our three kids, I would not say that, I mean, just so you understand what I'm saying, it's fun to help your kids, but I have no sense that it is now my responsibility to meet all of their needs. Their Heavenly Father loves to be their Heavenly Father. And he loves it when they call out to him. So for parents that are here today and your grown kids are going sideways on you and you're still trying to be their mom or their dad, don't. That season has passed. It is now time for God to care for them. And you worrying about them is not helping. And for those that have younger children, this is where you're headed. You get to be their parent now, and you get to carry the weight of being their parent now. But you are not raising them to be dependent on you all of their days. You are raising them to be dependent on God. And hopefully to find gainful employment. Okay. "Fear not," this is verse 32, "fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, not just something to eat and something to wear, but, and again, what is the kingdom? It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's God's good pleasure to provide your needs and give you that. Now, what he says next, realize he's talking to people that don't have their bare needs met. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. That's me, right? I don't have enough to eat and drink. No, God wants to provide for you, but more than enough for you so that you would be blessed to be a blessing. Give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. You ready for this? You can't have peace if you're not generous. If it's all about you having a little bit more, if it's all about you, you know, just kind of taking it all in on yourself and then trying to protect all of that, you will have anxiety. God gives us peace when he is generous to us so we can be generous with others in our life. God gives us peace in every situation. Now, that's probably, you know, five is enough. But the point is, you can't come up with a scenario where God doesn't want to give you peace. Wherever you are this holiday season, there is a level of brokenness that's mixed in with all the other fun stuff. As you've noticed, the slides for this season will have different pictures of kids experiencing the things we're talking about. That picture just makes me smile. Some little kid reading his Bible and for whatever reason laughing out loud, kind of doing a belly laugh. I'm a grandpa. There's nothing that brings me more joy than watching, particularly my grandkids, but quite honestly, your kids too. I love watching kids live life, because quite honestly, they mostly have peace. They mostly have joy. It's part of the reason Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you're never going to get this. We talk about Christmas as being a kid's holiday. It's really all about the kids and all that kind of stuff. Well, I would say it's all about the stuff that the kids are experiencing. They're experiencing joy. They're experiencing peace. And that's what God wants for us. So as we take communion this morning, this is a great time as an act of faith to free yourself from whatever the anxiety is that's robbing you. And to remind ourselves, for some in this room, for whatever is tormenting you. And I would argue the reason it's tormenting you is because you've got it all bottled up inside and you're not doing anything tangible to deal with your anxiety, your worry, your fear, your brokenness, whatever it is. This holiday season, this is where we need to live. I think we tend to live somewhere in here. I think we need to live somewhere in here. Life is broken. Life is hard. There'll always be temptation to take the care on ourselves, take the worry on ourselves. But that's what God wants. He came to have life with us. He, Emmanuel, God with us, among us. He is sharing in all of our brokenness so that we can have the peace and joy that he has for us. So what is your peace plan for the holiday? We started with Proverbs 12. Those who plan for peace, who plan peace, have joy. What is it that you need to most likely let go of so that you can experience the peace and the joy that God has? Let's all stand as we pray and get ready for communion. Lord God, you came and lived and died. Your body was broken, your blood shed so that we could have this peace and joy that is at the heart of the Christmas message. Lord God, I pray for all of us here because we all have points where we settle for far less than what you have for us. Help us to identify what's keeping us from peace and joy, what's robbing us of our peace and our joy. And help us to respond, not with fight or flight or freezing, but with faith. Help us to respond by turning our eyes to you, trusting that you delight in caring for us. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and you're an active Father. And you constantly are at work doing what is best in us and through us. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.